to the big show.
Da, you da, do this every da, da, time.
Da. I do not time. Do the ESPN
okay.
theme song
almost
every time.
Every time. Not necessarily
it.
The ESPN
I've
theme
never
song,
done
but you talk like that every like
that's my
almost every
that's
week.
My
you're
radio
like,
announcer.
No, I don't even know how to do it, boys.
Yeah, that's definitely what I sound like.
Oh my gosh.
You gotta get more excited.
Welcome to the big show. Da da da
da. Eddie, this is the big show. We've reached over a year. This is like episode 54.
Look out, folks.
Yeah.
We're walking, talking.
I feel a year older.
Do you?
I do.
What's it feel like to be a year older?
So much wiser.
Yeah?
So much something. All right, well, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast.
The big show.
No. All right.
We are exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How you doing, Patrick?
And Katie Phillips.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Katie. Oh, we're sitting in different spots today.
No,
we're in normal
this
spots.
Is our. Well, if we're in
oh, we
this
are in normal
recording
spots.
Studio,
yeah.
That's
true.
That's this
true.
Is
when
normal.
We're in Studio A,
and when we're in Studio B,
Studio
we
B,
sit
yeah,
in different.
There
yeah.
you go. Okay.
That, right. that is true.
Facts of the podcast, a little behind the scene glimpse for you listeners.
Yeah. I mean, you can just visualize it as you're talking. Like, oh right. my gosh, that Beyond Sunday team, always in their spots.
Yeah.
There you go.
Creatures of habit, what can we say?
Aren't we all?
It's because we're Lutheran.
Well, we're today. We're
among
gonna,
other things.
We're going to talk about competition.
All right.
Are you competitive by nature?
I'm more competitive than you are.
Ooh. I take a umbrage with that. I'm more
competitive. Umbrage? Wow. All right.
Katie, are you competitive?
Okay, yes. But not necessarily with other people. I feel like I'm more competitive with myself.
That's not competition. That's not. That's
yes,
not
huh? See?
Yes,
see?
Huh?
That's with me.
But that's with somebody else. All right, we'll get into it later.
Yeah.
Yes. But first, some news.
All right.
There you go, Katie.
Delayed yes. reaction.
Yes.
I think we should start stealing the ESPN theme song.
You do it then. You go.
No, it'll be trademarked. Okay. We'll get
yeah,
like, sued
right.
and
yeah,
we can't.
Yeah,
that's not good.
ESPN, you know, we're a true competitor to the worldwide leader in sports.
Right. Yes.
They're upset. We're taking some of their listeners. Taking
probably.
Some of their,
yeah.
yeah. All right. Well, for the month of October, I have a treat for our listeners and
oh,
for you.
All right.
Yes.
Not a trick.
Any tricks? Yeah.
A treat. All our news is going to be spooky news this
oh, okay.
month.
Spooky news for the month of October.
Yes.
We are in a haunted studio.
Yes. Ooh.
So we should get a new spooky news theme song.
Yeah, do you have a spooky thing? Yes.
You work on that.
All okay, right. Katie.
They're creepy and they're kooky.
That's also copyrighted,
yeah.
so there we go.
Can't do that one either.
The Addams Family is very litigious. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Have you seen... Okay, wait, hold on. Time out.
Wait,
have
like
you me. Seen the... No, the costumes, the children's costumes that are like, it's Wednesday, but they can't, because it's copyright, they can't call it a Wednesday outfit. So it's like the middle of the weekday little girl or whatever it is. Like if it's a Wednesday costume from the Addams Family.
I do like seeing copyrighted costumes
I think
that are
it's
trying
hysterical.
To fake it.
Yes,
I would agree with
that's
that.
Awesome.
That is funny. All right.
Sorry. Go ahead, news.
Back to news. Six Flags in Maryland. Six Flags America.
Yeah.
Is celebrating Fright Fest 2019. Have
sure.
you ever been to a Fright Fest at a theme park?
Yeah.
Me too. I went, my wife and I went to Universal Studios Orlando.
Ooh, okay.
And it was at the beginning of their Fright Fest. And I said, babe, do you want to go to this? We're going to be there. We just have to pay extra. And she said, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we paid
absolutely.
More. And then she got super scared and would not go into the haunted houses, which is what we paid for.
Oh, there you go.
I can identify. Yes. I do not do spooky things.
You do not? You're not? Well, hopefully this doesn't spook you out here. So they have a 30-hour coffin challenge. All right, so...
I saw this!
Okay, so in
Six
this...
Six Flags of Maryland, 30-hour coffin.
Yes,
account.
So you
okay.
will...
On the news!
Yes, you will lay in a coffin there at the park for 30 hours from 4 p.m. Friday, September 27th. Well, I guess it already happened. Till p.m. on Saturday, September 28th. All right, so 30 hours in the coffin, and you do win a prize. If
with,
you're,
the, with the coffin closed?
So it is open kind of from the waist up.
Yeah.
It's...
Oh.
Yeah.
So I'm just laying in a bed for 30 hours?
Yeah.
Sounds... How do you go to the bathroom?
Okay, there are...
Well, you're not eating or drinking.
There
so...
are bathroom and meal breaks.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
What?
Here's a cake.
Now, this time you do it with... this year they're doing it as a couple. So six couples. So siblings, cousins, friends.
I don't want to share my coffin.
No, you have team coffins.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
You are next to your,
okay.
your partner in the coffin. And the winner, if you stay in their office, you get $600 divided by two. So each part of the couple would get $600. Or
$300.
Yeah, there you go.
And then gold passes to the park.
Okay.
Yeah. But
I don't feel like that's that hard.
Me too. I agree.
Like with meal and bathroom breaks,
yeah,
it's not that hard to like lay there.
I can sit there and just.
Are there rules about like not talking or like do you have to be dead for 30 hours? Or
you to make it tougher.
Hold your breath.
To make it tougher, it says no technology allowed. So you can't be on your phone.
That's
easy. Or anything like that.
I can do that.
Can I talk to the people who come by?
Probably. I assume so. I mean, I just read a book. Just bring a bunch of books.
Yeah.
Or just sleep.
I can kill 30 hours.
Yeah, I have a... We have newborn children at home. 30 hours is late. I can sleep no problem for 30 hours. I'm out. See you tomorrow with my $300 check.
That's right. Good luck.
Yeah. So if you were doing this, you know, as a couple, how would your spouse do this with you?
Yeah, probably. I don't see why Amanda wouldn't do this with me.
Yeah, I think Ryan would do it. Maybe not.
Why is that?
Because he has this fear of being trapped.
Okay, I also do not like constriction. I hate
Ryan wouldn't do it.
But it's open from the waist up.
Yeah.
It feels like I can move my arms, I can move my legs.
Like, is there any chance the coffin's going to close? Do they seal you up at nighttime or anything?
It doesn't even have a lid. It just is like a...
I don't know that he would.
I would do it.
Yeah, I think...
I would do it and I would win.
His greatest fear is being trapped in a bag. Isn't that crazy?
This isn't a bag. This is a coffin.
I know, but like, I don't think you'd do it.
Yeah, I am not sure my wife would do this either. But maybe if there was crafting involved, if she could like...
if she could knit.
She crochets.
She crochets while knit. She's laying there.
Yes, yeah.
I know, there's a difference. Okay.
Yeah, I don't
no
know.
Information.
Well, there you go. So it already happened. So next year. Next year, the three of us can take a trip to Maryland.
Sure.
And compete.
Beyond Sunday podcast.
Going on the road.
And we get
set up the microphone
tickets
right there.
Yeah, so we can just like record our thing, yeah.
For 30 hours.
30 hours. Yeah, I also feel
like 30 hours is out.
There's 12 people doing this. I feel like they're going to have a lot of winners after 30 hours. I just don't see how if you're willingly signing up for this, 30 hours is not that long.
No.
It's not like
especially with
days.
Meal and bathroom breaks.
Yeah. It's not
you
like
you get to get out and like walk around and stuff so your body doesn't like.
It's 30 hours. People lay in hospital beds for weeks on end and then get up and walk. I mean, it's possible to, like, it's not going to harm you to lay there for 30 hours.
Especially if you're getting up periodically for a meal or bathroom.
It'll be fine.
I mean, when you were in the hospital after giving birth, you laid in a bed for a while.
True story.
Yeah, so. your leg isn't atrophy or anything like that. You don't have to go through physical therapy. Yeah.
I don't know how to walk.
I think this would be more interesting to be done indefinitely.
Last
team
standing.
Wins.
There you go, yeah.
You just keep going until somebody quits.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not that competitive.
Yeah. You know, maybe in my younger years this would be something, but now, you know, you have kids,
right.
Real job, responsibilities.
Yeah, Sophia would not win at this.
Yeah, I assume so.
Sophia would last about 30 seconds.
Timmy would
and
do pretty
I'm
good.
Done.
I'm bored.
Just lay them in there.
Something else. Let me do something else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for a new thing.
Yeah. All right, so that's our spooky news. Fright Fest.
I liked it.
All right, well, so, you know,
Fright Fest and competition. You're hitting all the podcast notes today. All
right, so let's talk about some competition.
Yeah.
Let's compete.
See who can talk the most on this episode?
Yeah. I actually do think we are going to do a game to start
off.
We're
going to do it? Okay.
Yeah, we have a competitive game.
No.
I'm already going to declare myself the winner.
Of course you are, a millennial.
No, listen. Bowser's play to win. All right.
So we are going to play a game called
Truth or Dare.
Called Two Truths and a Lie.
Oh, okay, yeah. I know this game.
So, we're just going
to
say...
Oh, wait. I have to come up with one about me?
There you go.
Yes, that's the way the game works. Not our listeners can't come up with ones right now for you. You come up with one, and we will determine try to pick out the lie.
Okay.
All right, so I'll pause the recording as we think about it. We'll be back here in a second, team, when we're ready to go. All right, and we're back from our paused recording.
All right,
so we all have our two truths and a lie.
It only took us 3 hours to come up with this.
It's 30 hours later. We were in our coffins.
Right.
But we've got them now.
All right, Pastor David, you're going to go first.
Yeah.
And then Katie and I will each guess, and we'll see who wins.
All right, mine are all middle school based.
Oh.
All right.
Okay, I like
it. A theme, if you will.
Oh, the phone is ringing in the background.
It's just extra spooky.
Yes. Ooh. Ooh. It's a spooky phone.
All right.
Who could be on the line?
So.
Dracula, who knows?
I want to suck your blood.
That's what Dracula says.
It's kind Dracula.
It's kind of his catchphrase. Let's hear it.
Two truths and a lie.
Okay.
So, in middle school,
mm-hmm.
I, one, completed a 210-mile bike ride over the course of 2 days.
210 miles?
210 miles
okay.
on a bike over 2 days.
All right.
Two, was the starting linebacker for my eighth grade football team.
Oh, okay.
Or three, set the record in the 100-meter freestyle for my eighth grade swim team.
I'm going to say you went the lie, right?
Yeah, you want to pick out the lie.
Right, I mean, I guess you could alternatively
that
pick out the two
truths.
You were
not the linebacker.
Okay, not the lie. I'm going to say the swimming is the lie. So there we go. So
Katie, do I reveal it now?
Yeah, so Katie picks football. I pick swimming. What is the lie?
Swimming is absolutely the lie.
Wow, yeah. Really? Yes.
I sink like a lead pipe. Swimming, not my strength.
Swimming is hard, man.
No, swimming is real hard. Yeah. But yeah.
All right, Katie.
In middle school, I was tall.
Okay,
so,
it's my turn.
You know, I'm scrawny now. It's the problem is that I haven't grown since middle school. So you know, if I'm my size as an eighth grader, then I'm a pretty good linebacker.
Okay. All right, here are mine. Yes. I've traveled to more than 15 states in the United States.
Okay.
I was a member of the volleyball team in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite flower is a fire and ice rose.
We've talked about the fire and ice rose.
We have.
So I'm pretty confident about that.
Stinker, have we really?
Yeah. Valentine's Day, I think that one came up.
Yeah, so yeah. That did come up, fire and ice rose. All
right, so we're pretty confident on that one. So yeah. I'm going to go with the... You said more than 15 states?
Mm-hmm.
It's so generic. It's hard for that one to be a lie.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the volleyball thing.
It's, yeah, I will also go with the volleyball thing. Same reasoning. 15 states seems pretty arbitrary a number. And I know you've traveled with your family.
You're well traveled.
Okay, fine. You're bright.
Are we bright or are you a bad liar?
Probably both.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing, right?
I know. I'm not a good liar. I just am not.
All right, Patrick.
Conveniently enough, mine are high school.
Oh,
themed.
All right. I love
Patrick
it.
In high school. All right.
You don't play this game enough. Themes are key. You gotta keep them in the same area.
Do you have puns?
No, no puns. No puns. Yeah, no puns. Here we go. Speaking of Six Flags,
all right.
When I was in high school, I worked at Six Flags San Antonio, Fiesta, Texas.
Okay.
2 years. I did not play any team sports in high school.
Okay.
Organized team sports.
Uh-huh. Are we including like chess club and things like that?
That's not a team sport. One, it's not a sport, and two, it's not a team sport.
All right.
And I also won a newspaper competition in high school.
Ooh. Ooh. All right. So here are things that we know about Patrick.
Ooh.
We know that Patrick
he
was
worked on the newspaper.
And he was an editor for his high school newspaper.
That's true. I was.
And we have often competed about our high school news stories. Right.
Yes.
So all right. So that's there's a high probability.
I feel like
that's
probably
true. You said you've never competed on a team sport?
In high school, I did not compete on any team sports.
Mm-hmm. I bet he did something on a team once.
Did you play like lacrosse or something?
Do you count like track as a team sport? Because like you're on a team. Like you run individually, but you're on a train.
Team sports mean you're playing the sport together at the same time.
Does it have to be organized with your school?
I've given you all the information.
I'm gonna say that one's a false one.
Yeah,
I think I'm gonna go with
that as well.
Also, the lie. You guys got it correct. Yes.
Yeah.
It is
some kind of softball something.
I played church league basketball with my church,
which is not an organized school sport.
I said team sports in high school.
Right. I didn't know. We figured it out. So it's fine.
It's all about the wording.
Yes, but in high school I also played tennis and I did run cross country.
Nice.
I hated it.
Yeah.
Oh, and I was on a bowling league, but like. A cool kid.
None of these were
That's
team
not
sport.
Team.
That was his point.
Yeah, those are
oh,
teams. The basketball is the team sport.
I am not listening.
Yes. All right, so let's talk about competition.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Do you want me to tell the story of how we got here?
Yes, please.
So that
do.
Katie can make fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so once upon a time.
A long, long time ago.
Yeah.
In a world far, far away.
In the annals of history. So I was sitting at home, and my wife and I love watching cooking shows, particularly cooking competition shows and things where people are competing for prizes. And so one of the shows that we really love is called Cutthroat Kitchen. It's not on currently anymore, but the whole premise of the show is that you're out not only to win, but to make it as hard for your opponents as possible. And so you actually bid on different auction items to try to make people cook with ridiculous things or like lose their ingredients from the basket, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So you're not only out to win, you're out to destroy and sabotage your opponents, right?
I have seen the show. I like it.
I love it. This is fantastic.
It is like now your competitor can't use knives. They can only use like a pizza cutter.
Right. Or like they have to make an omelet, but the pan is all like warped and ridiculous.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's interesting.
It's
I like
awesome.
The creativity of how they have to make it work.
It brings out a dark side of me that I just really, really love, right? Then, a couple of weeks or so later, my wife and I started watching The Great British Baking Show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which if you've
love
not,
it.
If, yeah, so if you've not seen it as a listener, if you're not familiar.
Not quite as love it.
you don't love it quite as much?
No.
It's a great story. You know, the people are very, these are all amateur bakers that are brought into a.
Tent.
A tent, yeah, for like an 8 week, 9 week, I don't remember how many people are on it, but a competition of a number of weeks. Every week someone is eliminated. But man, these people are so gracious to one another. Mm-hmm. Like, they're helping each other out. They're cheering for one another. At the end of the first episode, people are, like, crying that somebody's going home. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, get this guy out of here. This is it. Yeah, right? And so for me, this kind of demonstrates these kind of two extremes that I at least grew up with in my own culture, right? Mm-hmm. This idea that competition, everything has to be about competition. We have to prove that we are better and destroy our opponents at the same time, right? Versus this idea of, you know, yeah, there are going to be winners and losers, but everybody's great. And we're gonna get along. We're going to hug everybody. We're going to love everybody, right? Maybe I'm the only one who grew up with this, but I feel like I grew up with these two poles. Mm-hmm. And for me, these two shows kind of highlighted this fact of my life. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm wondering, is there an element of what I would maybe call, and maybe this is too harsh, but what I want to call toxic competition, to the point where we push competition so far that we're hindering ourselves from having a healthy and meaningful relationships with one another? Or are we going too far the other way with me? I don't know what the antithesis of that would be. Antithesis is right.
Sure.
I don't know what that would be, but I think toxic, whatever it might be on the other side.
Maybe we can sum that up in the everyone gets a trophy.
Sure, the everyone gets a trophy movement.
The anti-millennial statement, everyone gets a trophy.
Which, all right, really quick, while we're on the record here.
I knew this would set him off.
As the resident millennial on the podcast, right, we get blamed for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Many of them rightfully so.
Sure.
But it is not the third grader's fault that everybody on the third grader soccer team got a trophy.
Sure. Stop, you did not go buy your own trophies.
Right. Stop blaming millennials for the fact that we grew up in a culture in which the adults and our parents said, everybody should get a trophy. It is not my fault that I was given a trophy. I was just on the soccer team. That's all. I just wanted to play soccer.
Yeah.
Such is life. Just wanted to be clearing the millennial name a little bit here.
Sounds like somebody wants a trophy.
I do want a trophy. Somebody give me a gold star for doing what I did. I want recognized.
Yeah, I think that those you know, those are certainly extremes.
Yeah.
And it's, what are we kind of, what do you want to do here? Do you want to say which extreme is better? How do Christians balance between these two extremes?
I like middle.
Do we think, is one extreme better than the other? If you're going to lean one way or the other, is there a better one to lean towards?
That is a good question. So let's start there. Which is preferable? That doesn't mean better. That doesn't mean good.
Right.
Which of the two things...
If you only have two choices, we make this false dichotomy. You have to choose between one or the other.
Yeah, cutthroat or everyone gets a trophy.
Yeah, cutthroat kitchen or British Bake Off.
Yes.
Well, of course I'm going to say British Bake Off because...
I like how she's being competitive about her answer.
Right? I am. Yes. Cutthroat, like, I wouldn't... As competitive as we can be, which clearly I'm not, but, like, I don't want to, like, sabotage someone else.
Right.
To, like, make it 85,000 times harder for them to do something, even though I might win. Because, I mean, we all know I'm going to win anyway. So it doesn't matter.
I don't need to sabotage you. I'm going to win anyway.
I'm just kidding. Kind of. But, I mean, I don't want to, like, make someone else's life miserable so that I can win. Like, that's, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a piece of the challenge for us, right? Because we live in a culture. I mean, look at where we are here in the Woodlands, Texas. I mean, everybody's on a team of some sort, and everybody wants their team to be the best at things. You know, this is why I struggled in high school, right? Because I did want to be hyper competitive in things. I did want my teams to win and to be the best. And frankly, I'm just not the best, right?
Yeah.
I ran track and cross country. I'm not a great track and cross country athlete. I was getting my butt kicked most weeks, but it was really hard for me to be in this culture that said you've got to be the best, you've got to win, you've got to go harder. I'm like, I'm just not that good. And so what do I do with that? Does that mean I'm a failure? Does that mean, like, I'm not worthwhile? Does that mean I'm supposed to be doing something else? So but then what are the dangers of the everybody gets a trophy British Bake Off mentality? I mean, what do we see as dangers of that side? Let me open that up.
I think especially when you're talking team sports. I mean, you have kids who pull the weight for the rest of the team. You have some kids who just
aren't. But that's true in the NBA.
I get it. But, I mean, I don't know.
Everybody on an NBA team.
But is that going to make that person not give as much effort because they know they're going to win in the end anyway? What difference does it make? I don't have to work hard because...
I think Katie has a point here before you interject here. I do think that this could be a detriment because part of competition is the hard work pays off in the end.
Right.
That's part of why I think we compete, is to see that hard work pays off in the end. And the everybody gets a trophy mentality sometimes can cut off the need for the hard work.
Right. Why do I need to work if I'm going to get what I want anyway at the end?
I don't argue with that. I think it has a higher detriment in individual sports than it does in a team sport.
Yeah.
Because In a team sport, it requires the team to work together. And even if there's one person pulling the weight, one person can never win a team sport by themselves. Right. That's why LeBron does not have as many championships as everybody says he should have, because one person cannot win it by themselves. But on an NCAA football team with like 110 players, the third guy on the depth chart at punter gets a ring when the team wins in the same way that everybody else does, even though they never step foot on the field.
You know, you have different size rings, you know, for how much impactful you were on the team. But I think that that ultimately can set you up. And again, we're talking about children's sports. That's usually what we're kind of addressing. Sure. Everybody gets a trophy. For a life of like maybe you grow up and you didn't. You don't succeed just by showing up. Mm-hmm. You don't just show up to the job and all of a sudden you're doing well. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to be you're going to face obstacles that maybe you are not quite as prepared to face when the success was easy early. I think that that comes from it. And I think that this is outside of team sports. I mean, like, I can say, like, growing up in high school, I was pretty smart and I didn't really need to study for anything to get good grades. And then I got to college and that shifted and I didn't know quite what to do. You know, because it wasn't hard early and it became hard later and I didn't know how to fix it. And so I think that that can lead to that of things were easy. And now life gets hard, and I'm not sure what to do. I've not built the skills that come from that. And that, and I think that's probably, for most kids, the point of competition is actually not even the trophy. It's to build the skills that are outside of sports that equip you for life. And so I think, you know, giving them a trophy kind of suggests that was the point of doing this, was for the fun, was for the prize, was for these things.
So if that's a life skill that we need and that is beneficial for us, why, when I look at scripture in particular, do I see nowhere, particularly in the life of Jesus, do I see nowhere where competition and an encouragement to have that competition is brought forward or highlighted or talked about or even made into an analogy or a parable?
Well, Paul does use sport as parable. I mean, he says, like, I beat my body, I take control of my life to win the prize. I mean, he's using racing as a parable of, like, I have control over myself to win the prize of what is life in Jesus Christ. So, I mean, there is, you know, sport analogy does come up in the scripture. Maybe that's not directly through Jesus, but it does happen.
I see. I just don't think that that highlights the same level of competition that we are pursuing on a day-to-day basis. In our everyday culture.
Well, let's maybe this is a good time to shift to the other side. What is the downside of the ultra-competitive, cutthroat nature? So what do we see there is, spooky phone again.
I think
it's probably the Wolfman.
I think it pulls us from one another.
Okay.
I think, you know, this sense of competition makes me think I have to constantly prove not only that I'm better than my neighbor, but that I can defeat my neighbor and whatever. I mean, look at how we do this in the workplace, right? We're not just out to work and collaborate with our co-employees. We're out to prove that we are more deserving of a promotion than someone else, which prevents us from having authentic and meaningful relationships with one another when I'm constantly trying to prove that I'm better than you.
Yeah, I think that this comes from not just a desire to be better. I think that's fine. I think it's fine to say, like, if I'm a mechanic, I want to be better than the mechanic across the street. Or if I'm a lawyer, I want to be better than the lawyer that I'm up against. I think that that is fine, personally. But I think where this cutthroat idea comes, like, the only way I can really make me better is by making them worse. That I will lie about them, I'll deceive them, I'll trick them, and I'll hinder their progress to make mine better. So in cutthroat competition, or cutthroat kitchen, you don't just cook to the best of your ability. Right. The point is you have to make it harder for your competitor so that you can win. And I think that that is that that ultra cutthroat zero sum game is this, like, it's me versus you, only one of us can win. And that means any rules necessary. Kind of like, you know, another reality show is going to be like Survivor. This idea of me versus you, I'm allowed to lie and deceive on any level in order to get further. And some people say you shouldn't do those things. And if you're a Survivor watcher, which I am, it has been hotly debated over the course of its 39 seasons. 39 seasons. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Yeah.
They're doing multiple seasons a year, though.
They
do
two a year. Okay. Yeah. All right. Is it okay to do that? You know, and it still comes up. Like, is it okay to lie about your profession? And I would say it's fine. You're engaging in this game. It's a direct mm-hmm. competition. But what happens when it's not a direct competition? Like the
right.
my mechanic shop versus my neighbor's mechanic shop. Mm-hmm. If we both, there's enough cars for us both to be in business.
Right.
But when what happens when I see it as I need more cars, so I will lie or sabotage my competitor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we can think about Luther's take on the Eighth Commandment here as well, right? The Eighth Commandment being that we're not going to bear false witness against our neighbor. Luther would argue that that's not just meaning that we're not going to lie about our neighbor, but we're also going to intentionally speak well of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does it mean to always assume the best and speak well of your neighbor? And how is that following in the commands that God has given us outside of just, well, I'm not openly lying about you. Isn't that enough?
Right.
But, you know, Luther really calls us into the next step of, no, don't only not speak ill of the mechanic next door, but speak well of the mechanic next door.
Sure.
That's truly faith. And so mm-hmm. maybe the question is less, how do I be better than the mechanic next door, but how do I be more faithful to God's call on my life?
Yeah.
And I think that is a more genuine call for Jesus and even for Paul in the sense of his race analogy. It's ultimately about how can I be more faithful? Not more faithful than the person next to me, more faithful in my own life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so how do we, I think that both sides of this kind of everybody gets a trophy mentality and this cutthroat nature of competition, I think both sides actually do have valuable things
sure.
that you can draw from towards mm-hmm. the middle. Both sides have things I think you would want to say, like, I think that alone is not going to necessarily right. set you up for life the way it should, but both sides do have valuable things that you want to pull from each side. So what are some of those valuable things that you can pull towards the middle for yourself in competition or for your kids as you're nurturing your kids? You know, how you're helping teach them to be competitive in a good way.
My son plays competitive select baseball.
Okay.
And this isn't necessarily, where everybody gets a trophy type of competition.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, it's not cutthroat either because we're not trying to tie the other team's shoes together and make it so everybody trips and falls.
So much more interesting.
You know, I mean, we don't sabotage the other team.
I would watch that team, yeah.
But I do think being in competition like that where it's not necessarily participation, I feel like Shane is intrinsically motivated. I don't think that there's mm-hmm. something that, I mean, he likes to win. He is competitive. But I think he sees that he can get better. Like, he continues to progress when there are better players than him on the team. He sees that, and he knows, oh, I've got to get my bat better. I've got to get my swing better. I've got to mm-hmm. do this. So I think it motivates him. Is that a thing?
Self-motivation,
yeah. Okay.
Or self-starter.
Yeah. You know, I think it makes him work harder. But then on the other hand, we've been, when he was 5 and playing t-ball, we were on a team where everybody got a trophy for participation because it was 5-year-old t-ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
nobody's good at
yeah. I mean, like, everybody's learning the basics together and everybody's learning how to hold a bat and we're all learning where the ball is. So I don't know that I think there's appropriate times, you know, in developmental stages and in life that, you know, you all did work hard and you all were a part of this team and you all should be recognized. Mm-hmm. And then there are other parts and other situations in life where it's like, it is
mm-hmm.
cutthroat type of, I mean, maybe hopefully you're not sabotaging right. the other yeah. person, but I mean, you know, but I think a lot of it has to do with your personality and, you know, are we,
mm-hmm.
so I feel like I'm a self-motivator. Like, I want to be better than myself. Like, than who I was last year or what mm-hmm. I did last year or how I performed last year
yeah.
or, you know, I feel like I'm the same kind of way with mm-hmm. that, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I'm growing up as someone who played, you know, YMCA soccer where, yeah, we all got a ribbon at the end of the thing, whatever, you know, mm-hmm. there wasn't a team that won the championship or anything. We played our games and at the end the season was over. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think that I gleaned from that I still find valuable that I think that we could share with others is respect for one another, that
mm-hmm.
it didn't matter how good you were or how bad you were. We learned to respect one another mm-hmm. and as we were playing the game together. And yeah, if it were a different scenario where we were going for a competition, we probably would have treated one another differently.
Yeah.
Right. And there are times I'm an Ohio State football fan. I love to, you know, bolster up the rivalry between Ohio State and Michigan. But there are times where I look at that and I'm like, man, this is really unhealthy. Like,
yeah.
you know, we take rivalry to a place where I'm like, I don't actually hate everyone from Michigan. Like, yeah, I want Ohio State to win the game, but I don't want to, like, punish. Like, there are people who get in fights after after professional sports and things like that because our teams did not win one way or another. And that, I think, is where it goes too far for me. And I think we've lost that ability to respect someone else because we assume we have to win. And what's really dangerous for me is when we take that up just in our everyday life, right? Yeah. That we even when we take it up with our faith, right? We have sometimes we hear the phrase, we have to win people for Jesus, as if A, we have anything to do with other people coming to Jesus. I mean, that's far more about the Holy Spirit and their work than it is about anything that we do. And B, as if it's a competition, as if like we have to prove that we're better than another religion.
I got more than you.
Right. Yeah. We're better than another religion or another church or another, like, and that's just, I don't think that's what that should be about either.
Yeah, I think that you guys are saying great things here.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah,
we said the best things.
Up top.
Gold star for both of us.
I will give you a trophy. Yes. You know, I think, you know, the good sides about everybody gets a trophy culture is that if you lose, you're not blaming it on external circumstances.
Right.
That you're not saying, well, the refs were against us, which is never really true.
Right.
But that's an easy way to blame something outside of your control for your loss. And I think that happens a lot in the cutthroat culture of like, I lost and it couldn't have been my fault. It couldn't have been just the other team was better today. It couldn't have been that. It had to have been these external circumstances that I had no control over, like the refs, the sun was in our eyes. You know, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. It just had to have been something else. And I think that it as children, our parents rearing children, that's an important thing to highlight. That you should not be blaming the refs. You should not be blaming a reason why your kid lost on something external. And then also, I think, Katie, what you mentioned, highlighting that defining accomplishment differently. That accomplishment in sport or competition is not just winning. That's not the not the accomplishment. I could go out there right now and whoop up on some five-year-olds playing soccer.
Right.
And I've never really played soccer. But I'm confident I could dominate the soccer field.
Right.
And that wouldn't really give me much of, like, value as a, you know, or like I wouldn't find value in that as in a competitive sport, because winning wouldn't be everything in that situation.
Right.
Like, it's not like, oh, I scored 30 goals against this five-year-old in your face. Wouldn't do anything. Like,
dude, I feel so much better for that.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's one of the things as a staff leader for a camp, one of the hardest things that we had to train our staff on year after year was that winning at dodgeball against a bunch of fifth graders is not the point.
Yeah.
Right.
It is not the point to go out with your kids and show them how amazing you are at dodgeball. You know, the point is greater than that. And yeah, we still play dodgeball and you know, somebody wins. But the point is really there, especially when you have that talent, you're there to make sure that the same kid's not winning every time. So sometimes you have to go in and, you know, tie their shoes together metaphorically. You know,
sure.
But, you know, help them have a little dose of humility as well.
Yeah.
By throwing a dodgeball at them.
And I think it's also one of those things that I think this cutthroat nature can hinder us, that we want to draw from the other side, is this idea of like all of the life lessons I learned through competition in my life, almost all of them came through losing. Winning really brought me very, very little, maybe some self-esteem, maybe some, you know, pats on the back, but losing shaped me very, very differently than winning. And so if your goal is for your 12-year-old to win everything, I'm going to be honest with you, they will not win everything in life. And losing helps. It helps to get so close and not get over the hump, because that's going to happen for them. And I think that's a valuable thing, of getting so close and it's still not working out is good. It's a good thing for humans to know how to deal with that, how to process those things. And I think the more you practice learning those things as a child, the easier practice those things and effort as an adult happen. Because it says your identity is not found in your victory, and it's okay to be a good sport and to congratulate somebody when they beat you at baseball. That's an okay thing.
I have a statistic that I want one of our listeners to look up for us.
Okay.
I don't know how to find this, but you brought something. I'm wondering what the ratio of people who win a championship and then come back to repeat that championship the next year versus people who come so close, lose, and then come back the next year and end up winning. I feel like that's a motivation factor there of, you know, what's the loss. And I'd be curious. How that plays out. So somebody out there with stats and, you know, a mind for that sort of thing. Let us know.
If you got that.
Yeah. It's not me.
So I do actually have a basketball analogy here for us.
A basketball?
Basketball, yes. Oh, basketball. It's my favorite sport. It's a sport I played in high school for my church. I'm not very good at it. Well, I was pretty good when I was younger. That you played. I'm not good now. One of the coaches in the 80s was a guy named Pat Riley.
Yeah.
He coached the Los Angeles Lakers with Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Popular team. Won a lot of championships. Won a lot.
Yep. Eventually coached the Heat, too, right?
Yeah. I think he's general manager of the Heat. Oh, he coached them and then became general manager. That's right. Yeah. And so one of the things, you know, he talked to his team about is after so much winning, they have a new challenge, and that's actually not against the other team, it's against themselves. And this was the Lakers had just won like two championships in a row, and he says, now you're facing the disease of more. Because now you want to win, but now you want to win on your terms. You want to win, but you want to be the one to make the last minute shot. You want to get the rebound. Mm-hmm. You want to get the accolades, the praise that comes along with it. Because you've already won. And so now you want it for – now you're saying, how can I win? Mm-hmm. And maybe on the baseball field, this can happen for kids. Mm-hmm. I want to win, but I want to hit the home run. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get the walk to the first base and then my teammate behind me hit the home run.
Right.
I want to hit the home run.
Yeah, or in my baseball days, I was always perfectly content to get the walk.
Yeah. Or I don't want to get struck out and then my teammate hit the home run.
Yeah.
You know, or I don't want to overthrow second base and somebody make up for my mistake and we win. I don't want that. I want to make the play. And so that's what he's saying. Like, that's the real challenge now, is we're talented enough to beat every team, but are we talented enough to want to win, irregardless of how I personally did?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that does come up in, I mean, I don't know how that relates to faith, but I think it can come up to this idea of, like, I want our church to do well. I want our preaching to be excellent, as long as I'm part of it.
Yeah.
You know, I want this Bible study to be amazing, as long as I planned it really well and I got the praise for it on the other side, or whatever the faith, you know, the faith applications can look like.
I think it might work more on kind of a corporate level too, that we as individual congregations, right, we each want our we want the global church to succeed as long as our church is really thriving. And we're not really that concerned about the church next door. We want our church to be the one with the great preaching, the great worship, etc. And every church wants that. So how do we thrive as a body of Christ globally without assuming that we have to be the ones who have all the best and newest and brightest stuff?
And I think that comes if a member of the church is coming to our staff or to other people and being like, I'm just not really getting filled here. Instead of saying like, well, you're wrong, it's saying like, well, let's help you find a church where you can get filled. Because that's the most important thing, is that you're a person that's getting fulfillment at a Christian body, not you're here within our building. And that's tough. That's a tough way to do it, because sometimes it's easy to be that competitive nature of like, we want to be the church that people come to, not the one that people leave.
And frankly, some churches don't have a theology that aligns with what we're teaching here, right? And so, you know, there's an element of, well, we want you to stay here because we don't know what you're going to get other places. And you know, there's an element of that too, which probably comes down to competition also, frankly.
All right. So who do we think won this podcast? I think it was probably me.
I was actually going to vote for Katie.
Aww. See?
Yeah, look at that.
I win.
He's being competitive in his selflessness. He wants the pat on the back. hopefully it was our listeners.
Get the selfless trophy.
Hopefully our listeners won this podcast.
I did win the sportsmanship award twice.
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
Don't want to brag or anything.
Yeah. That's awesome.
No big deal. So something new for year two of Beyond Sunday that we discussed right before we went on this podcast. We're not going to do a recommendation every week.
Oh, we're making a big deal out of it?
Yeah.
I thought maybe we're just going to not do it.
I mean, because people are going to be like, where's our recommendations?
Really? Are they?
Yeah.
The whole
that's probably who's calling.
I was going to say hush.
They're calling and be like,
hush.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to come up with recommendations. We will give recommendations.
As we have them.
When we have one. Yes. Not. And we'll ask our guests to give recommendations.
We have special guests,
because, you know, they're engaged in different things than us. But, you know, sometimes it was just tough to be like, what are we going to recommend?
Something.
We'll figure something out.
It'll be good.
So, do we have any recommendations this week? It's okay to say no.
I'm good.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, so if you liked what you were listening to today, we hope you take the time to rate and review us on your favorite podcast provider, whatever that might be. Be sure to share that link with your friends, family, neighbors, strangers on the street. You can show people that you're a better podcast listener than they are by showing them this great new podcast that you found. You can do all those things. You can check us out on our website, beyondsundaypodcast.com. And, of course, check us out on Facebook at Beyond Sunday Podcast.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you next week.
Have a good week.